John chapter 14 and verse, and then chapter 16. We're going to begin in 14. We're going to read verse 15 through 24. John chapter 14, verse 15 to 24. And then I'm going to share with you the title of the message today. And the Bible says in verse 15 of the Gospel of John, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you," and check this out, "and will be in you." Look at your neighbor and say, "Is it in you?" You wonder where Gatorade got it from. Got it from the scriptures. Is it in you? Verse 18, it said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Flipping over a couple of pages in my Bible, it says, "And a little while longer, the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, and you will live also." Amen. "And at the day, and at that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." Oh, how he loves me. "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And then Judas, not Iscariot, not that guy, but the other Judas, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and he will, and we will come to him and make our home with him." He's referring to the Trinity, the triune nature of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Who said God? Jesus never said he was God. There it is right there if you need some proof. You might want to highlight that for when folks come to you and say that Jesus never said he was God. Well, he just said, well, we will come to him and our home will be with him. And in verse 24, "He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." And then turn over to chapter 16, just briefly over to the other side of in my Bible, it's right on the other side of the page, and we're going to read from verse 5 through 15. And it says, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However," did your neighbor say, "however? He," the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, "has come. He will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things," somebody say, "all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." You may be seated, those of you who are standing in the house of the Lord. And the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word on this morning. The title of today's message is Trading Places, the promise of the Holy Spirit, Trading Places. Last week, we kicked off a series entitled How to Live the Spirit-Filled Life. We were coming off of the Easter resurrection season, and we talked about the newness of life that Easter brings, that great getting up morning when Jesus rose from the dead and eventually would ascend into heaven. That great getting up day, that day where many of us rededicated our lives to Christ, and there were many new believers that found life in Christ. Well, what do you do after you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So last week we spoke a message entitled Abundant Living from John chapter 10 and 10. The Bible said Jesus said that he came to give us life, but then give us life more abundantly. He said that the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all the devil wants to do. That's all he'll ever do is come to steal, kill, and destroy. He knows nothing else. He's like the Terminator. He'll keep on coming and he will not stop until you are dead. Are you following me? That's what the thief does. He comes as a friend. He comes as a companion. He comes and tells you how much fun it will be to walk on the wild side. He markets himself real well. He has great hashtags and commercials. He comes in, but he doesn't tell you the whole story. See, the old folks used to say that sin will always take you further than what you wanted to go. It'll keep you longer than what you wanted to stay, and it will cost you more than you were willing to pay. See, sin looks good on this side of the equation, but on the other side, it doesn't show you it doesn't show you the ramifications of the sin. See, the alcohol commercial looks real good and everybody's having real fun on the 30-second commercial that you see. Everybody's fit and in shape. They don't show you the beer gut that you're going to develop after years. They don't show you all that. They don't show you the DUIs that are going to mount up and it's going to cost you your job and all. They don't show you all that. They don't show you the five-year-old that was running across the street while you were driving impaired that you ran over and hit, and they don't show you all of that. You know what I'm saying? They don't show you the jail cell. They don't show they don't show you all that. They show you everybody having fun and getting lit. You better get to be the light of the world. Hello, I'm here to share some light on the subject. You want to get lit? Well, we're gonna get lit today. Look at your neighbor and say, let's get lit. We are the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and we're going to keep it real. But Jesus said, I came to give you life. The initial life was eternal salvation. The initial life that he's mentioned, that means you're called into eternity. Once you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you are now a citizen of the kingdom of God. You are now entered into eternal life. Nobody can take it from you. Nobody can grab it from you. You can't forfeit it. You can't get away from it. It is eternal life. It is yours eternally. But how you live until you get there is another thing. Do you want to live abundantly or do you want to just get by? Do you want to survive or do you want to thrive? I don't know about you, but I want to thrive. The Bible said that I can live abundantly and I want all God has for me here in the present. Amen. Somebody said, they used to say you're waiting for the pie in the sky for when you die, but I want something sound on the ground while I'm still around. Are you following me? I don't want to go through hell on my way to heaven. You know what I'm saying? I want a little slice of heaven right here. You know what I mean? So how do you live the abundant life? Well, the key to living the abundant life is to live a spirit-filled life. And that's what we're talking about today. Abundant living was a living that was separated, a living that was surrendered to God's will and purpose. And then it was a living that was sanctified to the things of God. Sanctified meaning you're simply set apart for God can use you. I said that God can use any type of vessel. He can use small vessels. He can use broken vessels. But he can't use unclean ones. So we all have to go through this process of sanctification. I don't know about you, but I didn't get totally sanctified when I gave my life to Christ. It took a process. It took a while for me to get where I'm at. And God ain't through with me yet, but the work has begun. Are you following me? But you know, so some folks, they got saved. They stopped drinking, cussing, smoking, and lying and instantaneously, and God blessed them for what the Lord has done. But for the rest of us, we're still working on some things. Amen? But the issue is that we got to look like we at least the work has started. The Bible said he that had begun a good work in you is faithful to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He said he's the author and the finisher of our faith. So if he started the work, there should be some evidence that the work has started. After a while, you stop cussing. After a while, you stop smoking. After a while, you stop lying. After a while, you stop drinking. After a while, you stop having a bad attitude. After a while, you're not carrying around bitterness and unforgiveness. After a while, you're not carrying around anger. After a while, you stop giving people a piece of your mind. A little advice. Stop giving people a piece of your mind. You only got so much mind to give. I don't know about you, but I need all of my pieces. I'm getting older now, and you know I need every piece. You understand? Somebody say, pick up the pieces. Hello, hello, hello. So we talked, the initial step of living the spirit-filled life is to know that God has called us to live abundantly. So let's talk about the promise of the Holy Spirit. I call this trading places because something is about to occur. You guys remember the old Eddie Murphy movie, Trading Places? He took the poor guy and put him in the rich guy's life, took the rich guys and put him in the poor guy's life. It was all centered around a bet to see which one was going to fare and how the thing was going to turn out. But there was a similar type of trading places about to occur in the Holy Scripture. Jesus said right now about the premise of the Holy Spirit. That's the first point. The premise. What's the premise? He says this. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. So the premise of the Holy Spirit begins by this. If you love God, you desire to keep his commandments. Make sense? If you love God, initially, if you love God, then you have to initially begin with the desire to please him. A desire to keep his commandments. And he sets the standards of what that is. We don't get to set the standard of how we are going to worship God. He sets the standard of worship. And he says, if you love me, here's the standard of worship. Keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I say you do. We got a lot of parents in the house. Our kids are outside. Well, we can talk about them while they're gone, right? So what do we say? If they love us, they'll keep our commandments. Right? How do we feel when they don't keep our commandments? We feel unloved, unrespected, or disrespected. Are you following me? We feel like they don't care about what we're providing for them. And how can they have the audacity? I'm working like Michael Jackson, day and night. Are you following me? I'm providing for them. I'm caring for them. I'm looking out for their best interests at every turn because they don't know where this life is leading them. I'm trying to warn them. I'm putting up all the warning signs. I'm trying to live a life that is pure and undefiled to give them an example. I'm trying, but they have the audacity not to keep my commandments. I say, come home when the lights turn on. Y'all remember that? The street lights came on. What that mean? Time to get it to the house. You had about a 3-minute window. From wherever you were at. Now, once those street lights came on, oh, I don't care if the score was tied. Come on, y'all, you ever remember football in the street? Man, ain't nothing like concrete football. Boy, I tell you, ain't nothing like concrete football. You play from this light pole to that light pole. Amen? The score was tied. It was 21-21, but the lights came on. There is no overtime when the lights came on. There is no one more play when the lights come on. You may make a play for home. I see y'all tomorrow. We will continue this on tomorrow when the lights go off. Are you following me? But we can't understand. But Jesus is saying, look, if you love me, then you would keep my commandments. You would do what I am telling you, commanding you to do. What Jesus does, what God does, is he essentially puts up guardrails. And what he's doing is he's not trying to deprive us of something. He's trying to save us from something. He's not trying to deprive us of sinful desires. He's trying to save us from the ramifications of them. But we like children, we like sheep who have gone astray, think we know better. No matter how much mama told you, yeah, I made dad say, how you think you got here? Hello, hello. But he says, if you love me, you desire. That's the premise. That's the beginning point. That's how it all begins. You have to have a desire. Everything starts with a desire. You want to lose weight, you have to have a desire to lose weight. That's how it begins. If you want to go to church, you have to have a desire to go to church. If you want to grow with God, you have to have a desire. That is the initial thing. But here's what needs to happen next. You need to have a plan. Because you can desire to lose weight all you want. But if you don't change your diet, if you don't commit to exercise, if you don't do the things that you need to do, then guess what? You just sit around desiring to lose weight. Hello? You got to have a heart's desire. So the premise of the Holy Spirit, look what he says in John 14:17. He says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him and he dwells with you and will be in you. I love this passage. Just break it down just a little bit. He says, listen, the Spirit of truth. See, there's no such thing as relative truth, as the world would try to have us to believe. You know, people say, well, you just live your truth, and you have your truth. Everybody's got their own truth. That's what the world's message is. You just do you. You have your truth. But you can have your truth without having the spirit of truth. See, in the body of Christ, there's only one truth. That's the word of God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one truth. He said, the spirit of the truth. He said, whom the world cannot receive. The world don't understand spiritual things. The world don't understand. There's some folks in your neighborhood that don't understand how you get up and go to church on every Sunday with these beautiful skies and clear days and all this stuff. And, you know, I had about five neighbors always shining their boats this morning. I said, whoa, they about to go and have a good time. I said, hold up, wait till about 2 o'clock and I'll go with you. Hold up, about 2 o'clock, let me go get some church in and then I'll come out and we can all go to the boat. You know what I'm saying? Don't forget Jesus. But the world don't understand, how could you spend so much time doing those things? How could you, you mean to tell me you give how much to the church? What? You know what you can do with that? Hello? Isn't that what Judas told Jesus? Wait a minute. The lady broke the box of perfume. It was worth about a year's salary. She broke the box and began to anoint Jesus. And what did Judas say? Because Judas was all about the money. Right? He was the money keeper. He was all about the money. You just wasted that perfume anointing the Lord. You know what we could have did with that? Judas was a worldly thinker. Spent all that time with the Lord, but never had his mind transformed. The Bible says, submit yourself to God and having your mind renewed by the Spirit. Judas spent all that time with God, with the Lord, in the Lord's presence, but never had his mind renewed. He spent all those Sundays in church, but never had his mind renewed. You know, some people come to church with their minds made up. And ain't nothing I can preach that's ever going to change it. Only the Holy Spirit can change it. Hello? There must be some in the house, right? Nobody responded to that. Let me move on. I'll move on. Love what Jesus says. He said, I'm going to pray to the Lord. He's going to send another helper. This helper is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a he, not it. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Our God, three in one. Are you following me? The helper is the Holy Spirit. The word helper is the parakletos. It means one who helps by consoling, encouraging, or mediating on behalf of. He's an advocate. He's like a court-appointed advocate to come and plead your case. Amen? This is what Jesus is doing, and we'll talk about that. This is what Jesus is doing now. But he says he called him another helper. So what Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you one that's just like me. Jesus is a helper, is he not? Didn't he help us out of sin and death? Did he help us to overcome? He's a helper. Jesus is a helper, but the truth of the matter is Jesus, in his physical nature, was limited by the laws of nature. He dwelled in a body. All God, 100% God, but he was also 100% man. He was a flesh and blood man. Do you believe that? Do you understand that? You have to believe that because our whole faith hinges on the fact that Jesus was actually a real person that actually walked the earth. He ate food. He drank water. He breathed. He was tempted. He had to be 100% a real person. He was not a myth. It was not figurative. He was a real person born of a woman, but conceived by God. Are you following me? So in that, he was limited. That means that he can be in Los Angeles and L.A. at the same time. He just could not be, right? His job, his duty, he was a helper. So he says, I got to leave you, but I'm going to send you another helper. He calls him another helper, one like myself. In other words, Jesus came to help in the flesh. But the Holy Spirit is going to come to help us in the Spirit. Jesus had promised in Hebrews, according to Hebrews 13:5, he said he'll never leave us or forsake us. Matthew's Gospel said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth." He promised never to leave us forsaken. In fact, in our passage, he says that he'll never leave us as orphans. So what he says, "I'm going to send you another helper. I'm going to trade places with the Holy Spirit to accomplish something, watch this, in you that I used to do for you." See, he said, "Right now I dwell with you. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. I dwell with you. But I'm sending someone who's not just going to dwell with you. He's going to live in you. He's going to dwell inside you. He's going to abide in you." Why? Because you can't keep my commandments otherwise. You know the problem with these cults and false religions? They usually set a whole bunch of standards that nobody can live up to, including them. That's the problems the Jews had. They had these standards, all these commandments and all this stuff that they can never themselves even live up to. You have to wear this. You have to bring this. You have to do this. You can't do that. And all these standards, whenever you get around a whole bunch of folks, no matter what they're teaching, no matter what they're talking about, when they come to you, they have a whole lot of set of rules. Oh, you got to give up meat. You got to worship on this day. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do, oh, you can't do this. You can't. When they keep coming to you at a whole bunch of stuff that you can't do, run. God never emphasizes what we can't do. He emphasizes what we can do. You follow me? It's not that I got to go to church. It's that I get to go to church. You understand what I'm saying? It's not that I got to give. It's that I get to give, because that shows appreciation for what he's given me. Come on, church, you know what I'm talking about. You should never approach the offering basket as though it's some obligation that you have to do. And I don't even like the term, "Oh, I guess I got to pay my tithes." No, no, no. You pay your light bill. No, you bring your tithes to the one that gave you all of it, that said, "Just bring me back just a 10% that I can use so that it'll be food in my house and to the storehouse." You bring that. And then he says, you bring it cheerfully. That means with hilarity. I'm so happy. Lord, I get to give. I get to participate in the kingdom work that you're doing on the earth. Little old me, I get to participate in seeing the fullness of your provision. Lord, thank you so much that you gave me 100%, and all that you want back is 10 instead of 20 or 30. Hello? But it's not a got to, it's a get to. Hello? So we love that about God. It said Jesus had to go so that the Holy Spirit can come. He had to leave so that the Holy Spirit could come. 14 to 19 of John, he said, "A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. But I live, because I live, and you will live also." He says, "I'm going away." This is his promise. He's saying, "I'm leaving. I'm going away." This is before the death, burial, and resurrection. But he says, "I'm going away." But so you know how they felt. They felt, "Man, we've been doing all these miracles. We've been watching you do all these things. We've been walking. And you promised that you were going to be a king. And all the prophets have prophesied about you and all these things." And they began to get a little scared, because it's a scary proposition to do life without Jesus. Know about you, but I don't want to do life without Jesus. Listen, even if it's all a hoax, I'm choosing this way to go. John Pascal said, "I'd rather live life like there is a God and die and find out that there isn't, than to live life like there is no God and die and find out that there is." And listen, if I live life like there is a God and I put on and I have the fruit of the Spirit working in me, that means that I have love, joy, peace, kindness, long-suffering, patience, self-control. Listen, I can live like that. It's a good way to live. And if it's all for naught, then hey, so what? I lived a good life. I've affected people in a positive way. Amen. And nobody had to make up lies at my eulogy. You know, it was like the lady was sitting next to her son at her husband's funeral, and the man was eulogized, the preacher was eulogized, said, "This was a great man. He was an awesome man. He was loved by everybody." And the lady brushed her shoulder against her son. He says, "Hey, boy, go look in that casket and see who they got in there." You I don't want no made-up stories at my funeral. I want it to be all true and good things. This man lived well and affected many. Amen? So he said, but a little while longer, the world will not see me, but see me. So in other words, don't be afraid. You know better. There's always the scene behind the scene. You know what's going on behind the scene. This is a part of God's ordained plan. Jesus was doing the helping in heaven while the Holy Spirit was doing the helping on earth. The Bible said when Jesus ascended to the Father, he said he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. That means right now, this very moment, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's sitting, and I don't know how this worked physically and all these things, because he's still in the full. I don't know how it works. I haven't figured that all out. I don't need to know it. I just know that it's happening because the word of God says it's happening. I can't explain it. Well, how is a physical Jesus going to be up in heaven? Where is heaven? Is it beyond? I don't really know all of that, but I know that it's real because God said it's real. Amen. And I trust and I believe in. And the Bible said that he's sitting next to the Father making intercession. You know why he's doing that? Because the Bible also says that the adversary, the devil, the accuser of the brethren, he comes to God day and night. That means he talks to God twice a day. I wonder how much we talk to God. Amen. Sometimes the devil talks to God more than we do. He said he comes to make accusations against you and I. He said, but you remember what they used to do? And Jesus is saying, nope, we don't remember. Hello. He said their debt has been paid. I pay for that. He said, oh, but wait a minute. You know what they just did last week? Jesus said, I pay for that too. He said he died once and for all. That means he died for every sin that would ever be committed. He died. And with the abundance of sin, grace much more. Hello? You can't out-sin God's grace. I'll say it again. You can't out-sin God's grace. But don't take advantage of that. Because when you take advantage of that, you're revealing your real heart. You don't want Jesus. You just don't want the consequences. Hello, isn't that what the world is all about? Let's get rid of the consequences. That's why we got birth control. Let's have the sin, but let's get rid of the consequences. Hello? The day after drug. We got all kinds of, but people still having babies like unwanted babies like it ain't nothing. I don't understand. Because sin will always be, will never be full. Hello? Sin always wants more. Amen? Let me go on. The helper, look what he says. The helper is for those that love God. That needs to be stated. The helper is for those that love God. It's not for those that don't love God. In other words, God ain't helping nobody that don't love him. Hello? Let me put it this way. The helper is for those who are willing and desirous of keeping God's commandments. Let me put this in a practical sense. This day of social media. Stop saying how much God is blessing you if you're living in sin. You've got it mistaken. That's not God's blessing, that's his mercy. If you are living in sin, don't thank God for the new car. Don't thank God for the rent. Don't thank God. Don't say. Let me state it. You can thank him for it, but don't say it's his blessing. Don't get it confused as a blessing. What it really is, that's his mercy. You better say that. Thank God, he had mercy that I was able to get a new job, even though. Thank God that my sins have not taken their toll on my life, and that's only by his grace and mercy. And keep this one in the back of your mind. The Bible said that the grace of God will not strive with men forever. Eventually, that sin is going to chase you down. Eventually, you're going to have to pay for that sin. Eventually, a consequence is going to occur. You skating along and you getting by, but that's only by the grace of God. Therefore, by the grace go I. Amen. That's the importance of understanding what his grace is. So the helper, the Holy Spirit, is only for those who love God. So the premise of the Holy Spirit is to love God and to desire to keep his commandments. You got to have a desire to keep God's commandments. Talk to me. Do you have the desire to keep God's commandments? It's okay. Say yes if you do. Amen. Amen. Any no's in the building? Because we can escort you out. You're wasting your time. I believe that you're here because you desire to keep God's commandments. So let's go to the next point. The premise of the Holy Spirit, and then there's the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "By now I go away." We turn over to John 16:5. It said, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going?" What he's saying is he's pointing to the fact that they were so preoccupied with him leaving that they forgot to think about the purpose for his going. We could get so preoccupied in our present situation, in our present circumstances. This is where worry comes from. This is why we worry. We worry about the uncertainty of our current situation when we fail to look at the big picture of God, when we fail to look at the plan, purpose, and destiny that God has for my life. See, when you begin to become a big picture thinker or seer, you begin to understand that the current trial or test that you're going through is only preparing you for what God wants to do with you and in you in the future. Hello? But what the enemy does, he's like that rearview mirror. Objects may seem closer than they appear. What the enemy specializes in, he specializes in magnifying your problem. He always makes your problem look like it's bigger than it actually is, because he himself wants to appear to be bigger than he actually is. That's why 1 Peter says he comes as a roaring lion. Notice he said he was as a roaring lion. He wasn't actually a lion. He was the Wizard of Oz lion. You remember the Wizard of Oz lion? He roared real loud, but inside he was a coward. That's the devil. He rolls around as a roaring lion. He wants to make you think it's big. You ever been walking down the street, out on a nice little walk, and you go through the walk, and then you come across a house that had that little bitty dog? It's always the little dogs. And they come running toward the gate, and they bark. They're going to tear you up. They're going to tear you up. They're going to tear you up. And then one day you walk down the street, and the gate is actually open. The dog runs, who let the gate open? He runs back, right? That's the devil. He said, who left the gate open? That's the devil. He's barking. But when you let them know that the gate is open, I've been let out of hell. Are you following? He took the keys to the kingdom and gave me dominion over everything. I'm living life abundantly. Now I know the gate is open. He's going to run back on the porch and go mess with somebody else. That's the devil. That's what he does. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to make you appear that he's bigger than he is. He wants to magnify your problem. Church, get into the habit and get out of the habit of telling God how big your problems are, and get into the habit of telling your problems how big your God is. That's what the believer does. That's what the child of God said. This is a problem. It's okay to admit that it's a problem. The Bible says, but no weapon that's formed against you. The weapon will form. It is a problem. It is a situation, but it ain't too big for God. And I don't care how big it is, but you don't know. My son is way out there. You don't know what he's into. You don't know how many years he got. You don't understand. That's not too big for God. Hello? But I'm so sick. That's not too big for God. Jesus, he's addressing these disciples because they're feeling anxiety about his going away. They're focused on the problem and not focused on the solution. They're focused on the problem and not focused on the promise. He said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another helper. I'm going to send you hope. He's comforting his disciples with the promise of a comforter. See, Jesus had declared in this passage, John 14, 1 through 4. Let's look through that real quick. John 14, 1 through 4. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Anybody have a troubled heart in here today? Anybody have a burden? Jesus is a burden bearer. He says, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He's always looking to heal the troubled heart. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God and believe in me, also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. and I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and where I go, you know, and the way you know." He's talking about two things. First, he's talking about his going away, the ascension. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, it said they watched Jesus ascend into heaven. Okay? So he's proclaiming that he's going to ascend. He's going away. That's his ascension. But then comes the descension in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where we know we call the rapture, or being caught up. He's saying those two things right there. He said, "I'll go to my Father's house to prepare a place for you." See, that's the purpose. He's going ahead of us to prepare the place for us. So we can't focus on him leaving. We focus on the purpose for him leaving. He's gone, but he's going to prepare a place for us. If you ever have a loved one, go on to be with the Lord. That's where we find hope. That's where we find comfort. That's where we find peace. Because we know that they're not lost forever. They just gone before us. Are you following me? We miss them. We grieve. But they ain't missing us. They ain't grieving. They in heaven. They woo, woo. They say, "Man, I can't wait till y'all get here." They're happy. They're jumping for joy. They're not sitting around moping, "Man, I sure do miss being on earth." Or as I said, earth with an F. "I sure do." No. There's no weeping. There's no crying there. There's nothing but joy there. They're joy. Because, see, what I believe is they've been transplanted into the future tense. They've been transplanted outside of space and time. See, heaven is not confined by space and time. So they're now with God. The Bible said we know dimly now, but we'll know clearly then. So I believe that they say, "Oh, okay. Oh." See, they got the full picture. We're still operating in the natural, so we'll never have the full picture here in the natural. Amen? So what he's saying here is he's saying that I go before to prepare a place for you. He's talking about the ascension, but then he said, "But I'm coming back." He said, "I will return again. I will come again and receive you to myself." Somebody say, "Caught up." That's what we're waiting on. In the prophetic calendar of scriptures, the next main event to happen is the rapture of the church. Amen. See, some folks run around looking for Antichrist. I'm not running around looking for Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. Are you following me? See, because Jesus Christ is coming before Antichrist is revealed. So I'm not worried. Well, is he the Antichrist? I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. I know that the spirit of Antichrist is already alive and well. You just say Jesus and see how many folks get unnerved and uncomfortable. So the Antichrist is already, the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well roaming the earth. So, but I'm not looking for the personage of the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. When you leave today, you should just leave looking up. Say, you ever do that to people? Go just stand in just go to like a crowded place, like a mall or something. Go down to Ontario Mills, Victoria Gardens or something. Victoria Gardens probably better, it's outside. I dare you to go Victoria Gardens and be walking, and then just stop and just look up. Just look up. You'll mess people up. People come along. What is he looking at? It messes people up. But that's kind of how we got to live our lives, looking up. That's how I want to live my life. I'm looking up. And they ask you, it's a good evangelistic opportunity. That's the new evangelism. I'm going to put that in a pamphlet. That's how you start evangelism. You want to start evangelism, just go and just start looking up. They say, "What you looking for?" "I'm looking for Jesus. How you doing?" What you looking for? See, because most people are looking down. We need to look up. Jesus said, "Look, in the meantime, in between time, the promises of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is to fill that gap for us between the time that Jesus ascended and the time that he will descend to come and rapture us up. Are you following me? He leaves us the Holy Spirit to help us to fill in the time so we are not left as orphans. We're not left to do this by ourselves. He's given us the commandment. He's given us the commandments to keep. But here's the difference between what the Jews were trying to do in the law and what Jesus does in grace. Is he gives us not only the commandments, not only the way to live, but the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do it. That's what the Holy Spirit is. That's why it's important to live a spirit-filled life, because that gives us the power to keep the commandments. A lot of folks are trying to keep commandments without the power of the Holy Spirit. That means you're trying to do it in your own power, under your own strength, and when your strength runs low, all of a sudden you back to cussing again. See, I was cool until church got out. I was holy and sanctified, but then church ended, and somebody cut me off on the way in the parking lot. Hello? That's because we're trying to operate our own power, or some power we borrow from somebody else. Watch out. I'm saying something. Borrow power won't get you too far. Hello? When these ladies come up and they're praising and worshiping, and if we're depending on what they're doing, if we're depending on their anointing, if we're depending on then that ain't going to last you long. That ain't going to last you too long. The Bible said to give me today my daily bread. Amen. So what I got for me, my worship was for me. If you want to participate, then come on ahead. But you got to get your own. Amen. You guys remember that old commercial on BET when it was listening to the oldies? And the brother said, man, let me all this out. He said, nah, my brother, you got to get your own. You guys don't remember that? Donnie Simpson? No, nobody? Oh, nobody don't. Okay. Y'all just too holified and sanctified. No, Pastor Chuck, you said sanctified. I don't remember that. All right, I got you. But the brother said, nah, you got to get your own. You better get your own. Get your own relationship with God. Get your own anointing from God. Get your own feeling for life. Because I can pray for you, but I can't pray for you. I can intercede for you, but I can't do your talking to God for you at some point. So you got to watch it. You got to let folks know. See, some folks, they just want you to pray for. Oh, you going to church? Well, send one up for me. Anybody ever do you like that? Oh, you going to Bible study? Well, make sure you say a prayer for me. Okay. But I don't go to Bible study, dude. I say that right now. Eventually, brother, eventually, sister, you got to go talk to God yourself. Because when we get to, they say there's a day coming when we all must give an account to God. That's Romans 14 and 12. See, we're all going to stand before God, and we're not going to stand together as a group. We're going to come one by one before God. And I got to give an account of my life. And he said, I'm going to judge every jot, every tittle, every idle word. God's going to give us, that we're going to have to give an account for. That means every Facebook post, God's going to run down your Facebook post history. He's going to say, that was interesting. Care to explain? I'm saying some of us need to go back to our Facebook history while we still can and just go push delete. You can do that. Take it out. You can do that. That's technology. Amen. He says he comforted his disciples with the promise of a comforter. I got 3 minutes to get through this. He said, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Sorrow fills the heart of those who think they are abandoned by God. Sorrow fills the heart of those who feel abandoned by God. But the Bible clearly says that we are not abandoned. He said, I won't leave you as orphan. I'll be with you always, even to the end of this earth. I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's the word of God. That's why we got to get into the habit of getting into the word of God. I need to know what the word of God says so that I can recognize his voice when I hear it. At the end of the day, you got to put the word on it. Hello? But wait a minute, I'm feeling so much grief and sorrow that my loved one is not here anymore. I feel sorrowful. I feel grief. I feel pain. That's natural to do it. I feel that way, but I know that it ain't over. I know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Are you following me? I know that he's going on or she's going on over into eternity. That's what I know. Now, what I know needs to take precedent over what I feel. You know, sometimes you don't feel like reading the Bible. But I know every time I read it, I get some good information. See, because when I read the Bible, it actually reads me. That's why every time you open the Bible, no matter how long you've been away from it, you open the Bible and it always seems like you opened it to the right spot and got the right word that you needed. That's because it's full of the Spirit. The Bible said the word is spirit. So in other words, when you're reading it, it's actually reading you. It's not a newspaper. It's not a magazine article. It's not a textbook. It's the word of God, the living, active word of God, the two-edged sword, the living rhema, what you call a rhema, active, living word of God. So there'll be times that you have to transcend what you feel with what you know. I know what the word of God says. I feel sick, but I know I'm healed. Hello? I feel stressed, but I know I have peace. I feel grief, but I know I have joy. I feel poor, but I know that I'm rich. Hello? What you know has to transcend what you feel when you live in a spirit-filled life. Amen?